very same situation. Na chirat. Very quickly. Viliyate. Destroyed, diminished. Isha Sangar.
By the association of the Lord.
Okay. So, okay. You can tell the words in prose form. Remember this.
Esha Purushasya Viparyaya.
Esha Purushasya Viparyaya.
Asit.
Asit.
Prakriti Sangaya.
Prakriti Sangaya.
Prakriti Sangaya. Na Chirat Viliyate.
Sayeva.
Sayeva.
Sayeva. Na Chirat Viliyate.
Isha Sangaya.
Hari
Bol.
Okay, let's chant three times. Esha Prakriti Sangena Purushasya Viparyaya. आसीत् स एव न चिरा ईशसङ्घात् विलीयते एष प्रकृतिसङ्घेन पुरुषस्य विपर्ययः आसीत् स एव न चिरा ईशसङ्घात् विलीयते एष प्रकृतिसङ्घेन पुरुषस्य विपर्ययः आसीत् स एव न चिरा ईशसङ्घात् विलीयते
ఫస్ట్
may also refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one wants to continue his association with Prakriti,
but of course here Purusha refers to the Jiva.
Jiva.
If one wants to continue his association with Prakriti, the female energy of Krishna, and be separated from Krishna by the illusion that he is able to enjoy Prakriti, he must continue in his conditional life. If he changes his consciousness, however,
suffering is not due to conditional life. Suffering is due to wanting to be separated from Krishna. That and conditioning is a facilitation given by the Supreme Lord to facilitate that desire.
If he changes his consciousness, however, and associates with the Supreme original person, Purusham Shashvatam, or with his associates, he can get out of the entanglement of material nature. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yove Tiratvata, one must simply understand the Supreme Person Krishna in terms of his form, name, activities and pastimes. This will keep one always in association of Krishna. Tatva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Maneti Swarjana. Thus, after giving up his gross metal body, one accepts not another gross body but a spiritual body in which to return home back to Godhead. Thus one ends the tribulation caused by his association with the material energy. In summary, the living entity is an eternal servant of God, but he comes to the material world and is bound by material conditions because of his desire to lord it over material nature. Matter. Liberation means giving up his false consciousness and reviving one's original service to the Lord. This this return to
so
one's
that. That's why liberation means moksham vishwangri labham. That is real liberation, because that's what frees you from the original problem of Krishna bahirmukh nature. So when you desire, let me attain the lotus feet of Krishna, that indicates Krishnonmukh nature. So when you have become Krishnonmukh, there is no need for the facilitation agency of Maya. So then you can naturally deal with Krishna.
This return to one's original life is called Mukti, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Muktir Hitvanyadha Rupam Swarupena Vasti.
Moksham Vishnum Grilagam Tadamala Bhajanam Tasya Hetum. This is the bhajan sung by Vidya Bhushan ji. Vyasatirtha. Navaratnas. Yeah. I have it with me. I will search and play it. Yes. Nice. He compares both. How same principles have been presented by Madhvacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, now the story starts. Ayam hishruta sampanna shila vritta gunadaya dhrita vrato mrudurdanta satyavan mantra vikshuchihi gurvaknyati vivriddhanam shushushur anahankrataha sarvabhuta suhritsadur mitavar anasuyakaha. Ayam hi shruta sampanna, he was well versed in the Vedas. This is Jamin. Shila Vritta Guna Alaya. Alaya means repository, reservoir of good character, good conduct, and good qualities. Firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions, he was very mild and gentle, and he kept his mind and senses under control. Furthermore, he was always truthful. He knew how to chant the Vedic mantras, and he was also very pure. Ajamil was respectful to his guru, the fire god, guests, and the elderly members of the household. He was free from pride, was upright, benevolent to all living entities, well behaved, controlled in speech, and without hatred to anyone. This was Ajamil. That's why Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Tekinchana Sarvai Pune Tatra Samasa Deshura Harav Bhaktasya Kuto Mahatma. Without bhakti, one cannot hold on to those good qualities, because the good qualities is because of the influence of mode of goodness. When you constantly start experiencing passion and ignorance, you don't have bhakti to hold on to, because your mode of goodness is incidental. So, it is not due to a transcendental value system. It is just incidental. So, incidentally, when Rajas and Tamas also comes, you are not going to say anything. But of course, he did have a value system. He was following Vedas, means he was following a value system. But it was not like very strong enough. It was not the value system of pure devotional service. Having spoken of the natures of dharma and adharma, the servants of Yama now illustrate adharma by showing how Ajamil is fit to be punished. So the general principles of dharma and adharma have been presented and agreed upon by both parties. Now they are presenting the specific case of Ajamil to show that how he is fit to be punished according to the principles that we have discussed till now. In two verses they speak of his righteous nature in order to show how his sinful nature was not suitable. Shila means good character, vritta means proper conduct, and guna means good qualities like tolerance. So first they are going to explain how esha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyayah asi. Someone can read.
The order carriers of Yamaraj to Yamdutas are explaining the factual position of piety and impiety and how a living entity is entangled in this material world. Describing the history of Ajamil's life, the Yamdutas relate that in the beginning he was a learned scholar of the Vedic literature. He was well behaved, neat and clean, and very kind to everyone. In fact, he had all good qualities. In other words, he was like a perfect Brahmana. A Brahmana is expected to be perfectly pious, to follow all the relative principles, and to have all good qualities. The symptoms of piety are explained in these verses. Srila Veera Raghava Acharya comments that Dhrita Vrata means Dhritam Vratam Shri Sangha Rahityamaka Brahmacharya Rupam. In other words, Ajamila followed the rules and regulations of celibacy as a perfect brahmachari and was very soft-hearted, truthful, clean and pure. How he fell down in spite of all these qualities and thus came to be threatened with punishment by Yamaraj will be described in the following verses.
एकदासौ वनं जात पितृसन्देशकृद्विजः आदाय तत आवृत्त फलपुष्प समित्कुशान् ददर्श कामिनं कञ्चित् शूद्रं सह भुजिष्यया पीत्वा शमतु मैदेयं मधा पूर्णितनेत्रया मत्तया विश्लतं दीव्या व्यपेतं निरपत्रपम् क्रीडन्तम् अनुगायन्तम् हसन्तम् अनयान्तिके. एकदा असौ द्विजः वन्स दिस ब्राह्मण अजामिल पितृसन्देशकृत् विद अ डिजायर टू फॉलो हिज फादर्स ऑर्डर वनम यात ही वेंट टू द फॉरेस्ट फल पुष्प समित कुशान आदाय टू कलेक्ट फल फ्रूट पुष्प फ्लावर्स समित वुड एंड कुशान कुशाग्रास. Tata avrutaha, on his way home, antike, nearby, dadarsha kaminam shudram, he saw a lusty shudra, saha bujishyaya, with a maid servant, pitvacha madumaireyam, having drunken liquor, vyapetam, without fear of others, hasantam, the shudra was smiling, anugayantam, singing, kridantam, and enjoying, nirapatrapam, without shame, anaya, with this woman. Madha agurnita netraya, and who was also similarly intoxicated and her eyes were rolling in intoxication. Vishlatan nivya, and her dress had become loose. Bhujishyaya means with maid servant whom he was enjoying. Maireyam is a liquor made from rice. Madhu means wine. Vyapetam means without fear of others. He was enjoying with her. Anaya. Okay. So, actually if you see, I mean this is the potency of the influence of the lower modes. However sattvic upbringing one might have, exposure to the lower modes, such strong exposure to lower modes makes anyone vulnerable actually. Anyone can fall down. So if the extreme example of Ajamil is given, That's why his history is given. I am the Shruta Sampanna. Why all those good qualities are given to indicate that he was perfectly in mode of goodness. And all it needed was one exposure, and it was sufficient actually. Then what is our position actually in this Kali Yuga? I mean, can we claim that we have I am he Shruta Sampanna Shila Vritta Kunalaya Drita Prato Mridur Danta Satya Vak Manasa Mantra Vit Shuchi? None of these qualities we have actually. And on top of that, bombardment from all sides. You don't have to go to a forest to see. All you need to do is to just step out of this Vaikunth Piramal. That's all, everything you can see. All ladies smoking and all such things. So,
let's see what Prabhupada has to say. Very nice purport.
Quote, while travelling along the public way, Ajamila came upon a fourth class man and a prostitute who are vividly described here. Drunkenness was sometimes manifest even in bygone ages, although not very frequently. In this age of Kali, however, such scene is to be seen everywhere, for people all over the world have become shameless. Long ago, when he saw the scene of a drunken Shudra and a prostitute, Ajamil, who was a perfect brahmachari, was affected. Nowadays such scene is visible in so many places, and we must consider the position of a brahmachari student who sees such a behavior. For such a brahmachari to remain steady is very difficult unless he is extremely strong in following the regulative principles. Nevertheless, if one takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously, he can withstand the provocation created by sin.
So seriously, if one takes up. So seriously means one has to at least reach the stage of Nishtha. So that's why Shivaram Swami Maharaj writes in the book Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani that preaching should foster faith and training should foster steadiness. So what should be the focus of training? Focus of training should not be to do big things, which means what should be training means what? You create an appreciation system where the values you want to inculcate, you want the trainees to inculcate, is actually there is a appreciation system, reward punishment system, which is according to that. So he says that training should foster nishtha or steadiness. That's what the training system should be. Because once someone was, when we were discussing this, someone was sharing once when Isolas Bhanu Swami Maharaj was somewhere, and he was after the class when I think Avatar Leela Prabhu asked Bhanu Swami Maharaj, where was it?
Chopati
only. He asked, how should we train brahmacharis? So Maharaj's answers are generally only sutras. Generally one word. At the maximum one sentence, he does not elaborate beyond that. So he says, what should be the focus of our training? Maharaj said, Nishtha. That's all. What should be the focus of training? Nishtha. You have trained the brahmacharis to reach Nishtha. Actually, if then you don't have to push. You don't have to get behind. But of course, this is a whole different thing. Now, how do you train them towards Nishtha? But the point is, if if you train them to be steady, then Maharaj writes that such a training which is aimed towards steadiness empowers the neophytes who are getting trained, and it also enhances the steadiness of the trainer himself, and it gives him great joy. The whole job of training becomes very joyful. Like that. So so that way I really appreciate Vyashyam Prabhu, that he has caught this point very nicely actually. So the focus of training is in steadiness, whatever it is, be steady. You know, what is valued is morning program attendance. This is very important actually. So actually the value should be fixed there in steadiness. So I mean, that's why the early training is nowhere in the world it is as good as what Vyashyam Prabhu has designed it. And you can clearly see, we were discussing this point in our afternoon discussion, where it was mentioned that such a training, how it empowers the neophytes, but it increases the steadiness of the trainers, and it gives them great joy. So, I mean, I was just sharing that, you know, this is my experience also. Various places I travel, but those places where the devotees have been trained in steadiness, it's a great joy to go and spend time there. To the extent that you eagerly look forward every time, and you feel nourished. It's joyful. You feel nourished. You become more fixed up, even though you have gone there for training. But it's mutual actually. So Prabhupada here, he says, for such a brahmachari to remain steady is very difficult unless he is extremely strong in following the regulative principles. Nevertheless, if one takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously, he can withstand the provocation created by sin. So how do you create a training program which can foster steadiness? So we saw the four kinds of anarthas. Okay, first is aparadokta anarthas, that can be tamed if you practice NOI verse 1. We discussed this last time, right?
Yes.
So by NOI verse 1, you can tame the aparadh, because if your vachovegam is there, krodha vegam is there, manasa vegam is there, then it's very unlikely that you will offend anyone. So therefore, aparadhotta anartha also can be. So if one carefully tries to cultivate the first verse, then he can overcome the aparadh mentality. Then how do you overcome asat trishna, the attachment to enjoying material things? He says, follow the second verse. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lauryamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. So if you carefully try to avoid these six things, if in your lifestyle you incorporate the careful removal of these six elements, then you can save yourself from asat trishna. And how can you escape hridaya daurbalyam? The following four tours. Dadati pratigrannati guhyamakhyati prachati mukte bojayate cheva shadvidam priti lakshanam. So when the heart becomes healthy with the priti, then the symptoms of weakness in the form of envy, fault finding, etc. is gone. So we have the solution suggested for asat trishna is verse 2, aparad is verse 1, and hridaya daurbalyam is verse 4, and tattva vibhrama is shelter of guru sadhu shastra, hearing. So these are the don'ts. How do you overcome the negative aspects? The positive aspect is nishtha. How do you foster nishtha in your training? Third verse is utsahan nishchaya dhairya tattat karma pravartana sangatyaga sato vritti. So if you incorporate these six elements in your training, he says, one can very quickly come to the stage of nishtha. So if one can culture enthusiasm, if one can create a culture of determination, freedom from doubts, you know, keep people doubt free, keep people enthusiastic, and patient. See, there is an element, there is a way in which patience is actually cultivated by knowledge also. Because one of the main reasons for impatience is not knowing when to expect what. When you don't know that, when it is not clear, then people become impatient. That's why I shared this example with you. Once Hayagriva Prabhu, after a few months of meeting Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, I have been chanting the holy name for the last 3 months, but still I have not developed love of Godhead. This was Hayagriva Prabhu. So Prabhupada just started laughing and he said, keep chanting, it will come. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a, Prabhupada did say in his books that if you chant, you will get love of Godhead. He said, 3 months I have been chanting, still no love of Godhead, what is this? So, he was getting impatient. But if he understood the process clearly, then one would not become impatient. So there is an element, how patience comes through proper knowledge also. Utsahan, nishchaya, dhairya. Tattat karma pravartanat. When you, tattat karma pravartanat means engagement in the 64 limbs of devotional service. So train them at appropriate times to engage in appropriate activities of devotional service. And Sangat Tyaga, your training should foster your training should facilitate keeping the devotees from Asat Sangha. And Sato Vritti is trying to follow the Sadhu Vritti, and one very powerful way of doing it is to learn Sadhu Vritti through episodes from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in this way, the first 5 verses are powerfully, if in a training program, these 5 means it includes 6 and 7 also. 4 means it includes 5 and 6 also. Correct? So, because you can't just do dadadi pratigrahnati, but that will work only if you do it with devotees, 3 kinds of devotees, that is 5. And you also avoid finding faults by seeing their external nature. So which means the training should involve 1 to 6. 6, right? 1 to 6. And then, in that association, what you should do? Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya Pitto Pataptara Samasyana Rochikan. That is actually Nishta. Kintvadarat Anudinam Kadusaiva Nishta Swadvi Kramat Bhavati. So that is steadiness. Where you are steadily practicing, but even though the taste has not completely manifested. So actually, NOI is a very, very deep book. He says, read, but actually, if the key for initially I never sort of really thought it was okay, just 11 verses, such a small book, okay. But then with days moving and you are finding that the teachings of that book are actually quite profound and very, very relevant actually. So NOD and NOI, NOD gives the philosophical basis and NOI gives such a practical approach to the whole aspect of training. If these principles are incorporated, you overcome the obstacles, which are the 4 kinds of anarthas, and you actually enhance nishta. You take the person towards nishta. So where were we? Nevertheless, if one takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously, he can withstand the provocation created by sin. So, this is possible if a training program. And actually, I really appreciate Radhesham Prabhu, because all these aspects you see are factored in the training program. So, it's really wonderful. That's why, there is such an impact. Even though, we may think that, you dilute it and you will get more people, but actually when you factor in and you go according to the teachings of the scriptures, the impact you can see actually very clearly. So, we were just discussing this, and we were in our afternoon discussion, I was just sharing that joy, that it gives great joy to the trainer, he says, and then it makes the trainer take one step further towards steadiness. So, it is true. So, if training means training, very profound statement Maharaj makes. Training should foster steadiness and preaching should foster faith. Which means preaching to newcomers should be in such a way that it creates favorableness towards the movement. And training should be designed in such a way that it pushes the person towards steadiness, and that training should involve the first 6 verses of the instruction. if one can scrutinizingly incorporate these six verses in a training program, the training program will be very successful.
Training should foster steadiness and preaching should foster
faith. With that. Okay, any quick comments, questions before we move on to the next part of the purport? Okay, who was reading?
In our Krishna consciousness movement, we prohibit illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. In Kali Yuga, a drunk half-naked woman embracing a drunk man is a very common sight, especially in the Western countries, and restraining oneself after seeing such things is very difficult. Nevertheless, if by the grace of Krishna one adheres to the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will certainly protect him. Indeed, Krishna says that his devotee is never vanquished. Kaunteya prati jani hi name bhaktah pranashyati. Therefore, all the disciples practicing Krishna consciousness should obediently follow the regulative principles and remain fixed in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then there will be no fear. Otherwise, one's position is very dangerous, especially in this Kali Yuga.
But one thing that is difficult to incorporate, for which we may have to take personal responsibility, is practice of the fourth verse. For that, to institutionalize it is not very easy. So the rest of the things to some extent can be institutionalized. Of course, there is a big everything needs personal responsibility. But having said that, the fourth thing, especially, one has to take personal responsibility for that. It cannot be institutionalized. Especially the of the six, four are foundational. Dadati Pratigrinnadi and Bhumte Bhojayate are foundational. And Guhyamakyati Pruchati is advanced. So generally, Guhyamakyati Pruchati, we may have a give and take relationship with many people where we do some Dadati, some Pratigrinnadi, or some Bhumte Bhojayate. But not all such relationships will advance to the level of Guhyamakyati Pruchati. It may not advance and reach the level of, you know, opening our mind in confidence and hearing the other person with empathy, sacrificing our time, sacrificing our energy, sacrificing our mental space, and with willingness hearing the other person out. We will not do it with anyone, and in the same way we will not open up our heart's deepest secrets, our struggles, and to anyone. So only with such people with whom we have sufficiently established a basic platform of relationship, with some Dadati Pratigrinnati and some Bhumte Bhojayate, will that relationship reach the level of Guhyamakyati Pruchati. But in the Brahmachari Ashram, the four foundational principles, in one sense we are handicapped compared to the Grihasthas. Because for Dadati and Bhojayate, you need some financial independence. I can't, Hari Bhakti Prabhu cannot gift a laptop to me. So, he needs a financial independence. And you can't say, you tell to a grihastha, can you please sponsor a laptop for me? I want to gift it to my friend. He may be willing, but it is not very favorable for one's brahmacharya. So, and at the same time, these basic exchanges are institutionalized actually. These basic exchanges are, you know, through an institution will always see dadati prati grihnati and bhunkte bhojayate as physical needs only. But in a family, these have a very strong emotional component to it. A mother's cooking and serving does not just maintain the body of the child, body of the family. It contributes in a very strong way the emotional well-being of the family, actually. And similarly, the father providing to the children does not just fulfill the physical need of the child and the family, but it in a very powerful way fulfills the emotional need also. But we may have Vaishnava Samvardhan, which takes care of your physical needs, and prasadam comes. Now Nithai Kriya Prabhu is handling the kitchen. Then maybe after some time Akhilatma Pran Prabhu might handle. After some time someone else may handle. They say that it may not necessarily generate gratitude. Why? You see? You have your service, you are doing. I have my service, I am doing. So therefore it is strongly in one sense institutional. And of course an institution will run in that way only. You can't have complete raganuga there, then nothing will get done. You have to have assigned people taking care of certain things. Then it means it is individual responsibility. So therefore, if these four foundational exchanges are not taking place properly, it's very rare that relationships will reach to the stage of guhya makyadi prachati. So if these six are not there, then a person will not experience priti. So therefore fortunate are people like Sri Vishwambar Prabhu to massage or to render such personal service. All you need is time and desire and little bit of skill. And every single day, except for the days when he is traveling to places like Thane, he has such services. So you don't really need a financial independence for this. If you can render such, last night I requested Nithai Kriya Prabhu that it would be quite late by the time we will reach. I said, is there some kurmura? Just keep it in my room. So there was no kurmara. So he personally, late at night, he cooked some poha and put it in the dabba and hot. So the point is, don't underestimate the potency of these exchanges. So, apart from assigned service, what we do has tremendous potency in actually prolonging our stay in the ashram. Uh, So if we don't do these things, if we are very sincerely and carefully following the four regulative principles, that in itself cannot save us actually. Because where will the emotional fulfillment come from? A brahmachari is not a species descended from Goloka Vrindavan that he will not need emotional fulfillment. Emotional fulfillment is needed and it has to be sought after in the association of devotees in a Krishna conscious way. That is why Rupa Goswami is speaking about Preeti Lakshanam. It is not just for Grihastha devotees that he has written that. It is for Brahmacharis also. So, understanding our handicap. Because in the Grihastha Ashram, when financial independence is there, you see them very frequently inviting people for prasada. Or anything you make, my mother makes something and she has some of her neighbors whom she knows that, oh, they like this item which my mother makes. She will make little extra, put it in a dabba and give it to them. And this particular item, oh, the neighbor downstairs she likes. She will make little extra, put it in a dabba, give it to them. And you think the dabba will come back empty? They will feel something. So these kind of exchanges enhances. And I have seen my mother do it. And therefore I have seen her many times. People come and do lot of guhya makyadi prachati with my mother. There are at least a few people when they want to open up and talk and discuss and just want to vent out, many times they come and spend time with their mother. So these are small things actually. But we have to realize what the institution cannot provide and take personal responsibility for it. So the fourth verse is what cannot be institutionalized. Because the institution cannot facilitate the fourth verse. There is a limitation to the extent to which the institution can facilitate the fourth verse. The only way it can facilitate is through speaking about it. Only that much can be done. Rest is personal responsibility. So if we take personal responsibility for it, then it will strengthen our fulfillment, and when that heart is fulfilled, then weakness of heart, which is symptomatized by lust, envy, fault finding, will not manifest. So this we have to remember and take personal responsibility. And this is there here, I see, especially in this group of devotees. But with days passing, each one taking will get more and more responsibility. But still, if you have to take time out to spend time with your friends and keep continuing these kind of exchanges, this is very in the long run, this is very important actually. So if this is there, then with all our accomplishments or lack of accomplishments, neither will get into our heart or head. Our accomplishments will not get into our head because we are getting a higher kind of fulfillment through friendships. And our lack of accomplishments will not get into our head, creating depression, because we are getting more fulfillment, more better quality fulfillment through quality friendships. So this is something we have to remember.
Okay, so that's what Prabhupada is. This Prabhupada's purport. Anything? Quick comments? Yes, Akhilat Mokran. Sincere, serious, and no ulterior motives.
At least stage of Nishtha. So what is that sincere then? Being sincere.
Being sincere means my understanding, sincerely trying to practice what we are reading and discussing. That is sincerity. Once I think someone asked what, Maharaj, what is the difference between sincerity and seriousness? But sincerity indicates intent and seriousness is with endeavor, I think. I don't know, I'm just kidding. I mean, only Prabhupada knows what understanding he wrote. But at least for me, I will take it as sincerity means keep the intent clean, seriousness means keep the endeavor going on, and ulterior motive means protect yourself from outside influence. Of course, in one sense, all three look same also, but okay. Drishtva tam kama littena bahuna parirambitam jagama hrishaya vasham sahaseiva vimohitah. Seeing the woman embraced by the Shudra's arm decorated with turmeric powder, Ajamil suddenly became bewildered and fell under the control of lust. It's not turmeric powder, I think.
Turmeric juice.
Shudra had his arm anointed. Turmeric juice. Because that's what, at least in traditional South Indian villages also, women apply. They take the turmeric. हल्दी का जो ये है ना मतलब अक्का हल्दी को लेके यू नो दे घिसते हैं मतलब दे रब इट इन अ स्टोन एंड गेट दैट एंड देन अप्लाई
बिफोर मैरिज
या कामलिप्ते ना इस एड्रेस बाय प्रभुपाद आल्सो एज डेकोरेटेड विद टर्मरिक to incite lusty desire. So even though literal translation of Kama Lipena means coated with lust, but here it means coated with turmeric to incite lust. That's what it means. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, it is said that if one's body is smeared with turmeric, it attracts the lusty desires of the opposite sex. The word Kama Lipena indicates that the Shudra was decorated with turmeric smeared on his body. One minute break.
This is decorating about the color inside. Before marriage, probably you do one day before.
Yeah, I see.
They do one day before marriage for beauty.
दुनिया में क्या जो अच्छे थे उसमें इंस्टीट्यूशन लगे
स्तंभयन आत्मनात्मानं यावत् सत्वं यताश्रुतं न शशाक समाधातुं मनो मदन वेपितं स्तंभयन इवन दो ट्राइंग टू स्टॉप आत्मना आत्मानं हिज माइंड बाय इंटेलिजेंस सो ही डिड ट्राई हिज So intelligence means to use the value system. Mind's role is to act instinctively. Instinct is mind. Intelligence is deliberation. Deliberation means to consider whether it is right or wrong. Mind is to act according to the instinct. So Though trying to stop his mind by intelligence, as he had been instructed, yata shrutam, yavat sattvam, using the steadiness in dharma and knowledge that he had, na mano samadhatum shashak, he was not able to control his mind. Madana vepitam, which was agitated by lust. Okay. Who has the mic?
Unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience and proper bodily, mental and intellectual behavior, controlling one's lusty desires is extremely difficult.
So unless one is strong in knowledge, That is, evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupam durasatam. That is, sharpening the intelligence part. And proper bodily, mental and intellectual behavior indicates engagement, proper engagement. Tasmatvam indriyanyadav niyamya bharatarishabha papmanam prajapakyenam Jnana Vijnana Nashana. So unless there is this two-pronged approach to attacking lust, while from one side strengthening our value system and from the other side having favorable engagement for the senses and mind. So, as they say, the best way to deal with lust is to not have time for it. So, if one is solidly engaged, gainfully engaged, and satisfactorily engaged, so if engagement is there, senses will be engaged. But for mind also to be engaged, that engagement should also be satisfactory, fulfilling. So otherwise just engaging the senses may still leave the mind little free to think about, to seek other ways of fulfillment. Even though the physical senses are engaged, but the mind might still feel, yeah, I am not feeling very satisfied. maybe the senses are satisfied, but I am not satisfied. So some satisfying engagement should also be there for the mind. So in this way, from both sides, by engaging the mind and senses, and by sharpening the intelligence using the instructions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, one can, it's a very favorable way of approaching or attacking lust.
Thus, after seeing a man embarrassing a young woman and practically doing everything required for sex life, even a fully qualified Brahmana, as described above, could not control his lusty desires and restrain himself from pursuing them. Because of the force of materialistic life, to maintain self-control is extremely difficult, unless one is specifically under the protection of Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service.
तन्निमित्तस्मरव्याजग्रहग्रस्तो विचेतनः तामेव मनसाध्यायन् स्वधर्माद्विररामः. स्मर इस लस्ट, व्याज स्मर व्याज ग्रहग्रस्त. स्मर व्याज taking advantage, Prabhupada says, taking advantage of his thinking of her always. Smara vyaja graha krasta, being haunted by the ghost of remembering that, of the remembrance of that lady. Tan nimitta, arising from seeing her. Vichetana, and losing his memory. Jayato vishayan pumsa sangasteshu vajayate. संगात समझायते कामात कामात क्रोधो विजायते क्रोधात भवति सम्मोहात सम्मोहात स्मृति विभ्रमा. Actually, we will go to those series of verses, very interesting. He says then, so smara vyaja grahat grastaha, becoming possessed because of lust arising from seeing her and losing his memory, he began to meditate on her with his mind. Tameva manasadhyayan, and gave up his practice of dharma. So dharma viraramaha. He could not protect himself from falling by jnana. And by his steadiness in dharma, but he attained Vaikuntha after restoring himself by Namabhas alone. This shows the inherent strengths of dharma, jnana and bhakti. So, what is the verse that comes before Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa? What will I do with
that? That boat was like a boat.
Don't check, if you remember, tell me. I'm also going to check. Because the key is there in that verse. Why is he starting this whole Dhyayato thing? Okay, by now someone would have anyway seen. What is that verse?
No, not yet. I'll check.
What is that? Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matpara vashehi asendriyani asya pragya putishita. What is the verse number?
2.61.
have to go to the department.
So you read. I vaguely remember something which I read. But I want to revisit, that's why I am just forcing you also. This is an answer to Kim Asita. How does Asthita Pragya sit? Sit means what?
How is responding to senses?
How he is controlling his senses. That's the meaning of Kim Asita. So he says, Tani Sarvani Sanyamya Yukta Asita Matvara. The yogi who is devoted to me, that is the meaning of Matvara. Tani Sarvani Sanyamya, after restraining all the senses, Asita, he will just sit. That's what it means. Means he will just sit, means not respond to the stimulus. How he is not able to respond to the stimulus? Matpara. Because he is devoted to Krishna. Vashehi Yasendriyani. He whose senses have thus been brought under control by being Matpara is Titapragya. Okay. So Matpara means my devotee. Without devotion to me, one cannot conquer the senses. This will be seen everywhere in later verses of the Gita. Uddhava has also said, Prayasha Pundarikaksha Yunjato Yunjanto Yogino Manaha Vishidanti Asamadan Mano Nigraha Karshitaha Atata Ananda Dugam Padam Bujam Hamsaha Shreyaran. O Lord has said, Lord, generally those yogis who try to study the mind experience frustration because of their inability to perfect the state of trance. Thus they vary in their attempt to bring the mind under control. Therefore, O Lotus Eyed Lord of the universe, swan-like men happily take shelter of your lotus feet, the source of all transcendental ecstasy. The person whose senses have been brought under control is the Sita Pratya. Okay. Then, he says, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangas Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kamat Kamat Krodho Vijayate. Suddenly, why is he speaking this verse? He is discussing a Stita Pragya, and suddenly, why is he speaking about Jayato Vishayan Pumsa? If you are not a Matpara, then what happens? Even Bhadravya Bhushan says, even for those who have controlled the senses, if they do not direct their minds to me, it is inevitable that calamities will again rise. This is expressed in two verses.
For Rajamila also it was given, he had controlled the senses.
Santaha. Even for those who have controlled the senses, if they do not direct their minds to me. And that is actually the story of Ajamila. Later, he directs his mind to Krishna and achieves perfection. For the yogi who repeatedly contemplates sense objects, thinking he will derive pleasure from them, attachment to those objects arises. But why is he contemplating on sense objects? Because the mind is not Matpara. Then because of that attachment, thirst for pleasure from those objects attains. So dhyayato vishayan pumsa sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama. Attachment is Sangha. Thirst for enjoying that object is Kama. When the longing is thwarted by something or something or other, anger burning in the heart to counteract the obstacle arises. Whatever stops it, the person becomes angry. Then, Krodha Bhavati Sammoha, that verse, he says,
From anger arises loss of discrimination of what is proper or improper action. So, which means the value system becomes Dila.
Intelligence
goes to rest. From this sammoha arises smriti vibhrama, memory of his plans to attempt to conquer the senses. He would have planned, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. But all of that is gone. Smriti vibhrama. Smriti bramsha, buddhi nasho. And what is the nature of buddhi? Determination and discrimination. So, discrimination is lost, is indicated by smriti vibhrama and sammoha. And here buddhi nasha specifically indicates his determination to control the senses is lost. He loses his determination. From the destruction of determination, one again sinks in the ocean of material enjoyment and continues in samsara. So basically, we were discussing the other day, last time, there is no accidental fall down. There is no non-premeditated, no one can sin without premeditation. Because before it becomes an action, there is dhyayato, then sangha, then kama, then sammoha, then smriti vibhrama, then buddhi nasha, and after that he acts. So this long process is there. So there is nothing called sinning without premeditation, non-premeditated. So therefore, when we talk about non-premeditation, non-premeditated sin or premeditated sin, it means a different thing. It means crooked premeditation. It means calculating that, oh, the process is powerful. I am chanting, I can chant some extra rounds and I will more sincerely hear next time. Like that, if one plans and commits a sinful activity, that is a crooked premeditation, because you are trying to take advantage of the potency of the process. So that is a premeditated sin, and that is seventh offense. Otherwise any sin is premeditated. Now the point is, what is inspiring that premeditation? Is it the vasana or is it crookedness? If it is crookedness which inspires that premeditation, it becomes the seventh offense. If it is vasana that inspires that premeditation, that is it's a simple activity.
There is no accidental fall down.
Yeah, in that sense, there is nothing is, you know, accidental.
Let me talk about the Sati Kipa.
Yeah.
Krishna gives benefit to one who is accidental.
Accidental means here, I mean, actually we saw the meaning of Durachara. One who is addicted to violence, addicted to thievery, addicted to adultery. How can all these addictions be accidental? Not like that. Yes.
You are telling that two types. One is like impaired by vasanas, and then another thing is crookedness. But for sadhana, when his vasanas are there, vasanas are pushing him. So vasanas want to, vasanas are pushing him. But simultaneously, he knows that it will give reaction.
Correct.
So it may be just that, and also he knows that the only process to get out of the reaction, or I will not suffer more because I have bhakti. So then by default every sadhaka knows these two things, that if I sin I will suffer, to solve the problem of suffering, the Krishna is there, till now Krishna took care. Means in one sense. So what is the difference between crookedness and this condition?
So crookedness is not accompanied by repentance.
You don't want to change. You don't want to. You want to continue with the same type of.
He thinks he is fine. Whereas one who has repentance knows he is not fine, he is diseased. And he prays. And he's
give an example of a person smoking while speaking.
Correct, like that. So the point is matpara. So if one is sufficiently absorbed in the Supreme Lord, if one is engaged and absorbed in worshipping the Supreme Lord, then there is no then it becomes easy. So to the extent we have absorption in Krishna consciousness, to that extent dhyayato vishayan pumsan sangaste shukajayati
jatilana.
Absorption
means mind will be satisfied.
We see that many times it is said that Prabhupada writes that the senses should be engaged, the mind should be absorbed. But we see that many times devotees who are very much absorbed in some services and actually senses are engaged, like book distribution, like they took so much responsibility and all. The seniors also told us that many times there are many fall downs after marathon.
Sure.
Yeah, because devotees are.
They are not doing their sadhana properly.
Yeah.
Prabhupada's
time.
Naurangabad.
No. Kalyana Guru just told us the importance of Manipur on that time.
Hmm.
Okay, fine. The concept was clear that this is what happened. So my point is, when there is explanation about the control of senses, we talked about, there is mention only about absorbing mind, which happens when someone takes like some big festival is going on. He takes the whole responsibility. But we see that after doing that also one may become very
weak.
So
that's why we don't emphasize only on one thing, no?
But
it's a holistic thing. Oneness. One aspect of it is service, but another aspect of it is one sadhana also, no? Purification comes from there.
But we know this point, but my point is that many times in the scripture or like only this much is emphasized, whereas that person may feel that I am already engaged and I am taking so much responsibility. This we understand that we have to be able to sadhana. But where it is mentioned in Prabhupada books or many other places, this point is not very much. Only this much is told that mind should be engaged, absorbed, and senses should be engaged. So, like what you call, how? So we understand by what you call hearing from our superior.
See, if sufficient hearing is not happening, then we lose focus. We are absorbed for the wrong reason. May not be for the right reason. Maybe just to fuel the ego. So, and that is one thing. And also, there are different kinds of fulfillment. One kind of fulfillment comes from absorption and service, but there is another kind of fulfillment that comes from that only living entities can give. So, one cannot be a replacement for the other. So otherwise, Rupa Goswami need not have spoken verses 4, 5, 6. He might have as well told, Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Siddhapya Vidya Pitto Pada Kit Vadarat Anudinam Kalusai Vajushta. He must have told, just engage Adarat Anudinam, with respect and regularity engage, and Swadvi Kramad Bhavati, gradually you will experience taste. But that is one kind of fulfillment one can get. But another kind of fulfillment one gets from persons. So one has to invest there also. So one cannot replace the other. Okay. So he could not protect himself by falling from falling by jnana and by his steadiness in dharma, but he attained Vaikuntha after restoring himself by namabhas alone. This shows the inherent strengths of dharma, jnana and bhakti. Someone can read. Purport is over. Not over, right?
In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami wants to impress upon the mind of the reader that Ajamil's exalted position as a Brahmana was vanquished by his association with the prostitute, so much so that he forgot all his Brahmanical activities. Nevertheless, at the end of his life, by chanting the four syllables of the name Narayan, he was saved from the gravest danger of falling down. Svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little devotional service can save one from the greatest danger. Devotional service, which begins with chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is so powerful that even if one falls down from the exalted position of a Brahmana through sexual indulgence, he can be saved from all calamities if he somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord. This is the extraordinary power of the Lord's holy name. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it is advised that one not forget the chanting of the holy name even for a moment. Sratam kirtayam do maam yatantascha dhruda pradama. There are so many dangers in this material world that one may fall down from an exalted position at any time. Yet, if one keeps himself always pure and steady by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he will be safe without a doubt.
So the means of breaking the poisonous fangs is engagement in devotional service. So, tameva toshayamasa pitrenartena yavata gramyair manoramair kamair prasideta yatatata. He satisfied her by his father's money as long as the wealth remained. He acted just to please her by offering attractive material objects that she desired. Srila Prabhupada writes, who is going to read?
There are many instances throughout the world in which even purified person, being attracted by a prostitute, spends all the money he has inherited. Prostitute hunting is so abominable that the desire for sex with a prostitute can ruin one's character, destroy one's exalted position, and plunder all one's money. Therefore, illicit sex is strictly prohibited. One should be satisfied with his married wife, for even a slight deviation will create havoc. A Krishna-conscious grihastha should always remember this. He should always be satisfied with one wife and be peaceful simply by chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Otherwise, at any moment, he may fall down from his good position, as exemplified in this case of Ajamil.
Vipram swabharyam apraudam kule mahati lambitam Visasarja-chirat-papa-svairinya-apanga-viddadihi. With his intelligence pierced by the glance of the prostitute, Papa, the sinful man, Achirat-visasarja, very soon gave up Sva-apraudam-bharyam, his humbled wife. Vipram, who was a Brahmana's daughter, Mahati could have a very elevated family. Lambitam was properly given by her father, Kanyadar. Properly married, he gave her.
Customarily, everyone is eligible to inherit his father's property. And Ajamil, who inherited the money of his father, But what did he do with the money? Instead of engaging the money in the service of Krishna,
he engaged in the service of a prostitute. Therefore, he was condemned and was punishable by Yamaraj. How did this happen? He was victimized by the dangerous, lustful glance of a prostitute.
Yatas tatas chopaninye nyayato nyayato dhanam bhavarasya kutumbinya kutumbam mandadirayam. Bereft of intelligence, he obtained money by proper or improper means and maintained the woman's family members.
Woman's family members means children, na? Her children through other.
Or maybe her parents, whatever. Yadasau shastram ullangya svairacharyati garbhitah avartata chiram kalam adhayo ashuchir malat. Transgressing the scriptures, acting irresponsibly, condemned for his behavior, leading a sinful life and impure because of eating her remnants of food, he passed a long time. Prabhupada writes, food prepared by an unclean, sinful man or woman, especially a prostitute, is extremely infectious. Ajamil ate such food and therefore he was subject to be punished by Yamaraj.
Thought maybe that when my senses are agitated, it means that I need one woman like that. But here we see that Ajamila had a wife, but still his sense, well, still he got agitated and he got attracted to prostitute. So means, can you elaborate this point that the mind of a brahmachari may feel that, what you call,
I am frustrated, so I need a woman.
Whereas Ajamila already had that opportunity, but he needs that.
See, you cannot it is true that he did have a wife, but still he got attracted. But having said that, you cannot conclude that therefore it doesn't really matter whether you are married or unmarried. Lust will attack you, so better stay unmarried. I mean, you know, I cannot come to such kind of conclusions. Because definitely married life does give a particular kind of stability. So, you know, a kind of responsibility, a kind of commitment, and an experience of affection also. So, we can't take this one example of Ajamil and come to any conclusion. So this is too much short of data to come to any reasonable conclusion. But statistically, if you see, even in modern world, I'm not talking about brahmacharis, but unmarried males have been connected with maximum number of crimes, especially related to sex. So statistically, this is true in every country. So,
unmarried.
In India also.
Unmarried.
Unmarried men. The maximum number of crimes, a significant percentage of crimes, which is disproportionate to the percentage of actually unmarried males, is attributed to unmarried women, and especially in relationship with you cannot deny the fact that marriage does bring in a kind of responsibility and commitment. But having said that, the power of opposite sex is what is the focus here. How even a married man who is settled and committed and satisfied, but the power of opposite sex is so powerful that it can pull even such a person. So therefore, is it proper to say that Ajamil had a wife, but he still fell to the prostitute? Therefore, it is not necessary that any brahmachari who feels lusty should not get married, should just try to just manage. I mean, I cannot come to such conclusions.
No. My point is that generally, is our point is that in Purport also, Prabhupada was stressing so much that all the grihastha men of Krishna consciousness
should be satisfied.
Should be satisfied one by one.
Right.
Means when we hear so much, Prabhupada also speaks, so much emphasis is given on that the grihastha should be satisfied with one woman. And we as a brahmachari, we may not know what, because we feel that I just need, one may need woman. Means,
I mean, you can see even statistically how many men marry another woman. But of course, it's not legally allowed also. Yes, Prabhupada does emphasize that that even grihasthas marry just only one woman. So the conclusion is,
you're not supposed to make a conclusion. Point the brahmachari. The point is that brahmachari should not feel that problem of mind control one is there with him because he don't have woman. Even those who have woman, they are also struggling with, because so
agreed.
Much like that. That's how just.
Agreed.
This what we see here, then it will help us.
Agreed. The point is agreed, but generally it is a misunderstanding to conclude that generally brahmacharis leave because of lusty desires. That is one of the reasons because of which they leave, but that is not the only reason. Because a woman does not just bring in satisfaction of lust. But there are many, that is one very powerful aspect of satisfaction that a woman brings, but there are other aspects also. So, your point is right in telling that Ajamil had a wife, but he still got agitated, so therefore it is not guaranteed that a brahmachari by getting married will in fact after some time actually sexual life ceases in a father and husband and wife's case. But still, relationship continues. So, the point is Yes, if lust is the only thing which is troubling a brahmachari, then yes, one, it is true that just by getting married, one may not overcome lust. That is true. That point I agree. But having said that, you cannot oversimplify the case completely. The case is much more complex than what we think actually. At this stage, it is simple. When a person grows, it becomes a little more complicated. It's not as simple as we think. Actually, the point that you made about after a certain period, even in couple, the center is not so much like sex life. So this lecture by Gandhu, where he mentions that this emotional support that a woman can provide through three things: appreciation, affection, and attention. It's possible, like that can be just offered by a woman only.
These three things: appreciation, attention, and affection.
Affection. That is why, generally, this is my observation. Don't make it into a. I don't have any shastric support for it. This is pure pratyaksha praman, and some anuman also is involved, but it is not shastric. So don't quote me. So I have clarified. Generally, brahmacharis who lose their mother quite prematurely, they have to be really careful, because the attention, appreciation, and affection that comes from a mother, the person might start seeking elsewhere. There is a good chance, because the father cannot do it as well as the mother. Actually,
same
context, he immediately mentioned this thing, that those brahmacharis who receive a good care from mother till 16 years of age, they have better chances of
surviving,
because he also said this, that
so
there is no, it's not a...
So, I think my pratyaksha and anuman sort of, I have something to support, you know, there is, because he is quoting this from also his pratyaksha. So, so this is a fact. This is a fact. So, let me not say this is a fact. I will at least say that it is a common observation. It may be true, may not be true. But definitely, as Prabhuji mentioned, that you know, the kind of attention, appreciation, and affection that a female can give, no one cannot expect it from other males.
Is it okay? Yes, sure. I don't know. I know I have not satisfied you. So, actually, you know, what you say is right. What you say is right, but just that the actual case is little more complex than that. We can't think of anything beyond lust as being the cause of a person living at this stage of our life. But when a person grows, it is not just gross sex, it is much more than that. It changes actually what one expects. It changes. Right? And as far as I understand, probably at that time when he meets the prostitute, he's still quite young actually. Ajamil must have been quite young when he meets the prostitute. Okay, last verse of this chapter. Tatayenam dandapanehe sakasham kritakilbisham neshyamano kritanirvesham yatra dandena shudyati. Because of this, neshyamano kritakilbisham, we shall take this sinner. Akrita nirvesham, he has not performed any atonement. So, we will take him to dandapanehe sakasham, to Yamaraj. Yatra, where dandena shudyati, he will become purified by punishment. So therefore they are concluding that, so how can you prevent us? We are taking him for his purification. You don't want him purified? Okay, so who is going to read grand finale? The Vishnu Dutas had forbidden the Yamdutas to take Ajamil to Yamaraj, and therefore the Yamdutas explained that taking such a man to Yamaraj was appropriate. Since Ajamil had not undergone atonement for his sinful acts, he was to be taken to Yamaraj to be purified. When a man commits murder, he becomes sinful, and therefore he also must be killed. Otherwise, after death, he must suffer many sinful reactions. Similarly, punishment by Yamaraj is a process of purification for most abominable sinful persons. Therefore, Yamadutas requested the Vishnudutas not to obstruct their taking Ajamil to Yamaraj. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose on the 6th canto, 1st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So tomorrow, as you all might know, tomorrow